Howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast 241. I hope your last week was as great as mine up here in Alaska working with grizzly bears. Oh, my, I love them. Hope you've had a great week, and I appreciate you stopping by today and spending a little time with me and the podcast and my thoughts on how to improve our photography. I'm very grateful for you folks, and I also really, really, really appreciate your emails, your conversations, your thoughts. You guys are the best. That's why I'm doing it. I love it. So thank you guys ever so much. Also need to thank the good friends there at Bedford Camera, bedfords.com. Those folks sponsor the Moose Podcast. They've got a great coming up this fall, Photo Conclave. PhotoCon, you've got to get there. It's a great event. It's like Bedford Camera on steroids with all this great gear, great people, great knowledge, great fun. It's just a marvelous event. Can't hype it enough. You guys need to check that out. Make sure you head to Bedford's. Well, you call, go in person, or use that internet. Make sure you use that special discount code, M-O-O-S-E. It will save you some real money. And boy, that could really help in getting out that next trip. So Bedford Camera, thank you guys for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. Let's get right into it. You want to be a bird photographer? Well, really, you want to get into bird photography. Now, I had a number of emails and stuff that it's really cool that folks at this point want to get out and experience birds with their camera and bring back that story. It's an amazing, amazing genre in which to work in. I've been doing this since I was 9 years old. I can't say enough how it has positively affected my life and Sharon's life, how much we enjoy it. If you came to the ranch, you'd see my latest. I made a bird feeder. I needed a bigger bird feeder, we call it mega, because it holds 60 pounds of seed at one time. Yeah, it's a big bird feeder. I love birds, and I want to help you folks who want to get into bird photography. Had a number of people have asked, just what does it take? I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there, and there's truly a lot of misinformation. There's some outright bad information. So I want to see if I can help those who want to get into bird photography, or perhaps get further in their bird photography, or perhaps want to get a lot better with their bird photography. I'm going to cover all those things. Now, getting into bird photography, the very first thing, you might have a lot of ideas what the very first thing might be, and that's perfectly valid. From my point of view, and working with photographers for the last 4 decades, you've got to have a passion for birds. Now, why do I say you have to have a passion for birds? First and foremost, just because you go out there, don't mean the bird's going to be there. Seriously, you can go out there and they don't show up, or they were never there in the first place. That's part of the deal. That's part of the bird photography creed, you know? You bust your butt and you go out there. And if they show up, that's one thing. If they perform, it's another. If they give you the photo of a lifetime, well, then you've grabbed the brass ring. But it's all up to them. Yeah, you can do some planning and homework. But the bottom line is, you've got to have a passion for birds to get into bird photography. Because you're going to have ups and you're going to have downs. There's no way around it. There are going to be times, and this holds true for me, where you're looking in that viewfinder, you've got your eye plastered to it, your finger's on the firing button, you see that photograph in front of you, you hit the button, and you come back to your computer and you go, oh, what the hey? Because you missed it. Either the exposure's off, the focus is off, or sometimes it's just a bare perch because the bird took off. All of those, any of those things happen almost on any given shoot that I go out with birds. That's just the way it is. If you have a passion for them, though, you can get through all that. In fact, you push through that, you can become a better photographer. That's just the start of how the passion works. The passion is going to take you to places on this planet to see birds you didn't know were possible or that were flying out there. And that passion is what's going to get you there. What else? Well, you know, the bird photography, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more, is not a affair that you say, okay, honey, it's 5 o'clock. I'm going to go out and photograph birds. I'll be back at 5:30 for dinner kind of affair. It is, and it's not something you're going to conquer this week or this month or this year. I'm here. I've been doing it for 4 decades and I still don't feel like I've conquered it. I feel more confident. I feel more comfortable. I feel my odds are a little bit better than they used to be. But boy, it's nowhere a slam dunk. So you got to have a passion to get through all that. Because once you have the passion, everything else does fall into place. That's the important thing to realize. Now, one thing you might be surprised, you know, if you want to go out and photograph birds, you don't need is to know all the birds. You don't need to know that that's a pileated woodpecker or a penguin. You don't need to know if that's a evening grosbeak or American goldfinch. You don't need to know those things. It all comes with time. Seriously. The more you go out and shoot, here comes that passion again, and the more you see the birds do their thing, because no two birds do anything the same. And that's the, kind of the cool part. That's why there's so many different species and so many different habitats. They're big, they're small, they're fast, they're slow, they're ugly, they're beautiful. All those different variables, you'll come to know those for where you shoot the most often. Go out, get the shots. Work the scenario the best you can. When you come back, when you have downtime, like at high noon, the light sucks, or there's a rainstorm, or you're looking at your images on your computer that night, that's the time to get out the Sibleys, one of the better, definitely better bird guides. David did a killer job. Open up that book and start learning who it is you're photographing. You need to make sure as you learn birds, you do it in a way that is succinct and consistent and accurate. So it means you can't just look at the pretty pictures and say, that's what it is. Because it doesn't work that way. You need to look at the range map. Where does that bird live? Where it doesn't live? Read the text. There's variations to every bird. I mean, most people don't realize that bald eagles, for example, don't get their white head until they're at least 4 years old. There's a number of phases before they become a white-headed bald eagle. You don't need to know that in the beginning. So take your time and enjoy the process. Now, everybody's got a local Audubon chapter. We can't recommend enough that you get involved and go on their bird walks. Three things come from that. One, you learn where the birds are locally. Very valuable. So you can go out and photograph them. Two, you start to know what birds you have there. Do you have a Wilson's warbler? Do you have a Wilson's snipe? Are there shorebirds, the passerines? What kind of birds are right there? And lastly, you start seeing and learning with people who know different birds' habits. When I learned my birding, Gary was a master. And Gary didn't let me, one, use binoculars when I started to learn birds. And two, he always forced me to learn birds by how they flew and in what habitat. And those lessons are just so invaluable to me. That's what you pick up from these groups. Check it out. Now gets to the one part of, you know, want to get into bird photography, photographers want to talk about, and that's the lens. slam dunk. Didn't have this option for a long time. The Nikon 500PF, period, said, done, move on. There you go, bird lens. Yes, there are many other options. There are faster, bigger, heavier, more expensive options when it comes to bird lens. That 500PF, hands down, boom. You're talking about this incredibly sharp lens, very small package, easy to handhold, a great focal length, boom. When I started out, it was a 400-5.6 with always had a 1.4 attached, 560mm f8. This is a 500mm, 5.6. Beautiful, beautiful sharp lens. Are there other options? Of course there are. But why spend money, especially if you're getting into it, on expensive glass when you could buy the 500PF for, what is it, $3,500, whatever it is? You could have gotten bought a brand new 800-5.6 like I did when it first came out and paid $18,000. But let me think about it. If you paid $3, I paid $18, that means you'd have $15,000 to go out and see the world and photograph it. Yeah, pretty smart. 500PF, boom, there you go, done. Can you start off with something shorter? Of course, watch one of my classes on backyard bird photography. You can start shooting with a really short lens if you set up your shooting gallery accordingly. But boy, it's all you need. Easy peasy. Now, the next couple, little more of a challenge. First, it takes time. It takes time, you know, to get into bird photography. It doesn't happen overnight. You've got to do, like the things I've mentioned already, you've got to get that passion. You've got to, you know, start shooting and getting to know your gear a little bit and birds. Get out with that Audubon people to know where to go shoot. All this stuff takes time, especially if you work a 9-to-5 job. But you've got to understand, if you don't put in the time to go out and play with birds, watch birds, your photography will suffer. No ifs and buts about it. And I have seen it hundreds of times with photographers who want to go photograph birds and have not put in their time. There's a lot of things birds do that are kind of, you know, classics. You know what's going to happen. For example, if they're perched, all of a sudden they kind of crouch down a little bit. You know they're about to launch and take off. There's little things like that you need to learn. Now, one of the best places to take the time to watch birds and see how they interact with things, of course, is your own backyard. If you have that opportunity to have that bird feeder, to watch how they use the shrubs, come back and forth to the seed or the bird bath, watch how they interact with other birds, how they're watching predators, their flight, all these things, because they're all a little bit different. It takes time to find it, to watch it, and then for all that biology to sink in. It's really important. It comes back to what I think is classically wrapped up in our very first writing lesson from our teachers way back when. And it's real simple. If you want to write about a subject, you've got to know the subject. Bird photography is just right there. You want to photograph those birds, you need to know the birds. You do not need to have a PhD. You do not need to take some online ornithological class. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about being a basic wildlife detective, watching the basics, okay, having that sink in. So you first need to take time to play with this thing about, you know, bird photography. Don't put pressure on yourself. See what happens. And then you need to take time to learn how to take that play and combine it with what you've learned about the birds to make the photographs. It's the combining of the biology and the technology. And the last thing, at least as far as I am concerned, that has got to be one of the top things you have to do if you want to get into bird photography, you've got to understand field ethics. I could rant and rave for an hour, and I could show photographs the whole time of some of the most despicable, unethical things that I see happening out there again. You cannot be part of the problem. You have to be part of the solution. You know, we go out and photograph these critters. It's our pastime. It's our passion. It's, you know, the way we enjoy life. But for those birds, it's a, you know, do or die scenario. Their lives depend on their actions, and their lives can be gravely affected by our actions. And I see it on a continual basis, and it disgusts me. So you've got to not be part of that problem. So you need to understand field ethics. You got to understand bird biology. And I understand, I'm here to tell you, if you understand basic bird biology, you don't have to worry about ethics, because you will know what to do right and what not to do at all. Because remember, no photograph is worth sacrificing the welfare of that subject. But I want to encourage you to get into bird photography and to improve it. Lots of resources out there. You remember, my whole website is just chock full of bird photography stuff. So is my YouTube channel. And of course, there is my book, Captured. Bird photography is something that has brought incredible delight and love and fulfilled my life since I was 9 years old. And I know it can do the same for you, so I hope you get involved in it. Head over heels, have a great time, and remember to make every click your story.